Welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm one of your hosts, Abby.
And I'm the other host, Bree. And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome, everyone. I feel like we keep doing these and then somehow a week has gone by.
I know.
It's just been really fast. I hope time is, I don't know if I want time to go fast, actually.
I don't know what's happening with time, if I'm going to be completely honest. Someone mentioned at work today or something, a patient was like, how long have you guys been working from home? And I was like, I don't know. I don't have any concept of time. I literally said that because I don't know when we started working from home. I don't know what date it is.
Yeah.
All I know is it's 7 o'clock and that means wine time for me.
Perfect. It means podcast wine time for me as well. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast, deep diving all episodes. We're currently in season 9, episodes 17 and 18. And this is a spoiler podcast. So if you don't want to know what happens or you haven't watched the whole show, maybe go back and watch the whole show.
Right, before you listen. There's a couple ways, we always talk about this in the beginning, that you can support the podcast. The first way is Patreon. It's a really cool website, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can pledge to be an intern, resident, or attending, $2, $5, or $10, and that will get you different bonus content. And we recently met a goal, and we talked about this last week. So last week was our first ever post-op. If you pledge to be an attending, when we call time of death at the end of the episode, we will continue recording for the $10 attendings for at least 10 minutes about different things that we're interested in. And last week it was about Andrew DeLuca, and this week it's Abby's turn. So I don't know what Abby's talking about.
It's hard when there's not new Grey's content coming out. So this one is actually going to be tied to our bonus episode of the month, and it's going to be a little bit of a conversation about who Bree and I were as middle schoolers.
Lovely.
Yeah, I want to preface that most of the time I would say that these post-ops are probably going to be about Grey's, especially that's like the time that when the current season is on, we'll probably talk about it. But for now, this is going to tie in with our May bonus episode. So it kind of goes in there. So that you can get the bonus episodes for $5 a month, and you can get the 10-minute post-op for being a $10 one, which you also get the bonus episodes. And you can join our Zoom hangouts. It's the best. If you only have $2 to give, that's incredible too, because our Facebook group is really fun, really active, and I just love everyone in that community.
Yeah, and you also get our show notes.
Yeah, and the show notes. So you can read all of our ridiculous notes we write. If you also want to support us, you can follow us on Instagram at The On Call Room Pod, where we remind you of new episodes. And one of the really best ways you can help us out is by leaving us a review and rate us 5 scalpels on iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. That's how other people find out about us and decide if they're going to hit play or not. And we so appreciate all of those reviews. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And by scalpels, I mean stars, if you're confused. Also, yes. I want to say this in the beginning because we've had some people ask lately, if you're a newer listener and maybe you didn't start in the beginning, we say the phrase GGBs a lot.
I was going to bring this up. You and I, same wavelength.
And we realized that maybe it's been a while since we identified it. I think it was in season 1 that we said it, and it stands for Grey's Goosebumps, which we get often in this show, usually in a sad moment or a patient moment or something to do with Meredith and Derek and his dreamy eyes. So we call those GGBs. So GGB moments are when you just feel all tingly and you just know that Grey's
feeling. Feel all the feels.
Yep. So hopefully that helps clear some things up.
Yes. How's your week been? It's the beginning of the week.
Again, who knows? It's been really good. I did some more FaceTime sessions today. I got to talk to some friends. Tomorrow and the next day are supposed to be beautiful weather. And so I'm just anticipating that and ready to be outside. And read a book. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do out there. I just want to be there.
Yeah.
I built a wedding venue on my island on Animal Crossings.
Oh, wow. You've been up to a lot of things. You've been really busy.
It has a dance floor and a ceremony spot and a podium and a microphone and a field of white flowers. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
So that's what I've been doing in my spare time. And I'm also really sad today, but I'll get over it. My HelloFresh meals, which I look forward to every single week because I don't grocery shop that often and those just make me feel happy. They messed them up or the delivery got screwed up and so they're refunding me, but I don't get them this week.
Oh no, so that means you're going to have to create your own things.
I know, now I have to go to the grocery store is what that means. But
ugh.
I have nothing exciting to say. How about you? You're in school now, you're a student.
Oh, yes, I'm a scholar.
You get student discounts at Qdoba and Madewell.
Dude, I forgot about student discounts. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you get 15%.
I can go to the movie theater and get a student discount.
You get 15% off at Madewell. That's like a lot of money on some of their stuff.
Oh, I had no idea. By the way, I got my new computer and when I ordered it off of like the Mac student website and they did not ask for any information. So if you're buying an Apple product, I don't know if I should be saying this, but it literally did not ask me for anything. And I got a decent amount of money off by just going to their student website.
How'd you get access to the website though? Did you have to be a student to get that?
No, I didn't have to log in. I didn't have to give any credentials of anything. I just literally went to like the education store, like clicked on the computer I wanted and bought it. That's it.
Weird.
It was really weird.
Also, you sent me that picture and you were like, whoa, it's space age because it has that touch screen on the top and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
And it's super light and thin and I got the dark space gray. And
are you on it right now?
No, because I don't have an adapter yet for my HDMI.
Or your USB?
My USB to plug my mic in.
It doesn't have USB ports. Wow.
Yeah, no, it does not. Which I think you had mentioned to me that it would, like the newest one didn't.
Right.
And I went to when I ordered it, it's like, do you want this? Do you want that? And I was like, yes, I want Apple Care. And then all the other stuff, Jen was like, no, you don't need that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't. And then I got it and I was like, oh, I can't record on this right now. So I don't know that I'm necessarily going to get the one from Apple because it's like $70, but you can get, I was looking at one on Amazon. I just want John to look at it to make sure that. Anyway, this is really boring.
Podcasters.
Wow. I just was kind of, I forgot. I just felt like I was just talking to you, Abby. All of this to say, I am back up in John's office on his computer and I just got this beautiful new computer and can't even use it for podcasting. But it's been nice working on it and doing schoolwork, which by the way, when you were saying like it's supposed to be nice tomorrow, I was like, oh, great, I can. And then I was like, fuck, I work all day and I have a post to do for school. And I'm like, why am I in school right now? Why am I doing this?
I don't know. Should have done it in the winter. You'll be doing it in the winter. It's fine.
I'll be doing it for the rest of my fucking life is what it feels like.
Yeah, it will feel like that, I feel like. Shut up. I knew I said that. You know, I'm just not on point tonight yet. I'm just trying to get my groove, you know?
Yeah, get it back. Get the groove back. The Emperor's New Groove back.
Oh, I love that movie so much. I feel like I have nothing exciting to say. Quarantine is quarantine. We hope you're all being safe. Should we just talk about Grey's? I actually, for once, feel like these episodes are more exciting than my life. You know, like sometimes I'm like, oh, we have to get to the Grey's. But now I'm like, I have nothing to share.
I know. Isn't that crazy that we have maybe the one thing I will say is, can we maybe do a FaceTime wine hang this week?
Please. I feel like I've not been wanting to bug you because you've been like in school and I don't know what your schedule is. But yes, absolutely.
No, bug me. Okay. Oh, one other thing. I had therapy this morning and we over Zoom and I came on and he was like, and so this is the third one I've had in quarantine. And he was like, and for the third time, your hair is different again. And I was like, wait. I was like, what? And he was like, the first time you had those Princess Leia buns, which good on him for remembering that. But we did talk about it in the session. He's like, the second time it was really curly and today it's straight. And I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, I'm running out of things to do, so I have to change it up. And he's bald and he's like, I don't really have that option.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was just like, my therapist is paying attention to, but I guess like it's all you see. You know, usually right. in therapy, you're sitting across from them. You see what they're wearing and their whole like everything, but you're just seeing the person's face. So I'm sure it's easier to remember.
Like, oh, that's so funny. Also, though, I'm always amazed when like my therapist will bring up something. She'll be like, well, I remember you once said this one story. And I'm like, how the fuck do you remember that? Like, I know, yeah. I know that they take notes afterwards, but they don't take notes. My girl, at least, doesn't really write that much down during. Like, she has a notebook should she need to write something. But, like, she's not sitting there writing. And so I'm always like, how do you then remember all of these things, you know? Like, it's just wild.
Yeah, and, like, remember everyone's names. Like, that's the one yeah. that always, like
relatives
blows my mind.
And stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I just found that very funny. And I was like, maybe the next time you see me, because it will be like, I'll be over halfway done with my class. I was like, maybe my hair will be extremely huge because I will be so stressed out.
Well, my favorite now is I feel like on the day of therapy, you're going to think about what your hair looks like.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to be like, should I do it straight again? Or it's like the one time a week that I get dressed up. Like I put jeans on and like did my hair because I was like, I can't have my therapist seeing me in my normal quarantine attire.
Oh, God. Like, I look terrible at mine because, well, you come from work when you would go normally. I would go after working out. So I looked like trash. Oh. So she's sometimes what's funny is she's like, wow, you look like, because I don't look like trash. And she's like, wow, I didn't know that you had eyelashes.
I thought you were going to say eyebrows.
That too. I'm just two floating eyeballs. Oh, God.
Anyway, Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Well,
it looks like it's about to storm. Hopefully we don't lose power, you know?
Yeah, it looks kind of yellow, the skies.
Yeah.
Bree, I want you to just look at the skies and know that I'm seeing the same sky as you, even though we're apart.
Oh, my God. I miss you so much.
That's so sad.
Dude, like okay, one last thing before Grey's. Like, I love John so much. And it's been, no, I really do. And it's been like really great spending so much time with him. Period. Also, I really miss my friends.
Like, I know.
I'm very, very grateful that I am not quarantining alone because I would be going batshit crazy by now.
I'd have come visited you by now and like sat, I would have just come over. It would, because your mental health would have been more important.
Yeah, yeah. But I just like, I miss that. It's one thing to like FaceTime with your friend, but I miss just like being like, hey, do you want to go grab a glass of wine after work?
Yep.
And having one too many and then walking home and being like, fuck, I have to work in the morning.
That's what you miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I miss that too. Like this, and especially because like I have all this newfound freedom right now.
Yeah.
But I can't even use it. That's what's the most frustrating.
Like it's like your winter thing where like, people where you don't have to work in the winter, but like people are either busy or don't want to work or don't want to hang out because it's cold and stuff. And now it's nice out and you don't have to work and yet no one can hang out.
But no, we're not allowed to hang out. Yeah. I feel like I haven't hung out with people since like January. Actually, what happened was I had the best birthday weekend of my life and then it fell apart.
Quarantine hit?
Yeah. Because we went out to dinner on Friday and had that. Remember how fun that night was? That was like that was like the last time I got together with friends, had that amazing night, had Osteria Rosa, went to the wine bar. And then the next day, my friends from Chicago came in town, went to Winchester, hung out with them. It was sunny out. And then I left there next day for Arizona, visited my grandparents where the end of the world began. And it rained the entire time in Arizona, which isn't normal. And it was freezing. I came home and I never left my house.
Dude, you're right. I forgot that it was right after your birthday. I guess because I kept working for a little bit until we finally started working from home.
It was all on the news when I was in Arizona. Like that's when it started being whatever. And it's just crazy that I turned 31 and then now half like a quarter of the year is gone and I haven't done shit.
Oh my God, I know. And like I started, so I got engaged at the beginning of 2020. I like started grad school. We bought a house and I was like, 2020 is my year. And then the world blew up.
Yeah, we sent you those flowers and we were like, Bree, you did it. You're getting into grad school. Everything's great. You're going to get married. All this is good. And now who knows?
And now who knows? Yeah.
I'm just mostly pissed because I was really want a solid excuse to buy that dress that before it goes out of stock for your wedding. But I just don't know what to do if we don't know when it's happening.
Yeah. And we don't know when it's happening.
Ugh.
Tell me about it. Anyway, Grey's Anatomy.
All right, let's get into it. We are talking about season 9, episode 17 and 18, Transplant Wasteland and Idle Hands. Would you like to read the first one?
I would love to. Great. It's by Meredith Gray. To a critically ill patient, an organ transplant means a new start, a second chance. But the body is designed to fight off any outside invader, even one that's trying to save it, because a transplant doesn't guarantee that it's an easier life. There's a threat that the body will reject the organ outright. The transplant process is very scary. A patient goes from worrying about getting an organ to worrying if the organ will be rejected. The anxiety continues until they can finally open their eyes after surgery and see that their gift has been accepted. Meredith Gray.
Perfect. The next one. Work keeps our minds active. It keeps us out of trouble. When we're not working, our hands are idle and the devil will find work for idle hands to do. And when you have an idle mind, well, that's the devil's playground too. At first, idleness can seem like a welcome distraction. The troublemaking.
Oh my God, this is us right now.
Yeah, this is us right now. The troublemaking and the fun, AKA TikTok. Everyone needs some idle time to focus on something other than work, even if it means focusing on something that's a little bit scary. Stepping back from work is the only way to get perspective. And it's only after we have everything in perspective that we remember where our hands truly belong. Wow.
Whoa.
That is a little too timely for me.
Yeah, seriously. You should copy that and paste that and put it in your notes. on your phone.
Oh, I was like, it is in the notes, Bree. I did copy and paste it and put it there. Okay, I'll do shotgun workup.
Okay.
There were some others I didn't put in here that were from.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah, they're just, yeah. So, okay, Bailey's patient, hernia, Jalen Donovan, kidney failure, Mr. Schultz, pulmonary hypertension, Bradley Parker, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, hematochezia, nice. Sounds like a snack, Theo, kidney failure, Herman Crump, heart transplant, Pablo Walker, cancer, Susie Kramer, open depressed skull fracture, hematoma, Madeline Skursky, non-resectable late-stage gallbladder cancer, motorcycle patient, crush injuries, bilateral leg fractures and arm fractures, and Heather Brooks, foreign object, aka a marble.
That was funny. So for rounds, we're going to talk about Jackson's first day on the board and how he steps into his leadership role and renaming the hospital and all of that. But with that, we're also just going to talk about all the other doctors who are on the board. So like the movement of the hospital. And then Richard and Catherine disagreeing about Jackson being in that leadership position. Joe and Krev update. Krev realizes he missed his chance and how he goes to Joe's bar and apologizes to Joe, not Joe the bartender.
Oh, yeah, sorry. His pranking business will include in there. I didn't write that.
Right,
yeah.
And then we have Meredith and her pregnancy and all of her fears with that. And then kind of how Derek responds to it. Arizona and Callie and Arizona's journey with her prosthetic. She's wearing heels and kind of their relationship and their sex life and things like that. Then we have Bailey with her genome project wanting to get funding. And then the ER opening again, and included in that, we're going to talk about April and her fucking carnival ride with, in reference to the metaphor of her and Matthew. So.
Perfect.
First notes.
Go ahead.
I said, ooh, Avery has the deciding vote and he can veto theirs.
Yeah, big time. I don't remember. I know Christina said this. I forget what in response to, but it was... She goes, he's a plastics fellow. I'm me. Like, I just love her confidence in herself.
Yes.
And I also think it's important, too, this monologue that they were talking about organ transplants and how, like, the body has to work really hard because it's natural for the body to reject it. I feel like that is just the metaphor for Jackson, sort of.
Damn, that's good, Abby. Like, that's really good.
Thanks. Like, is he going to fit in with them? Are they going to reject it? At first it's hard, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Also, just want to point out that he brings Danishes to.
I know, he's really trying.
Yeah. Should we just talk about the beginning, that beginning of the meeting? Yeah. So Avery shows up and it's clear that everyone is already like really irritated with him. And they think that he is only speaking on behalf. Callie keeps talking about his mom and like, your mom says this, and that he's just speaking for the foundation. And because of, and he kind of is in the beginning, and he thinks the foundation thinks that it would be better if there is new leadership. And so Avery wants to fire Owen.
Yes. I just think too, this whole beginning, I feel bad for Jackson because he didn't ask for this. And they're just being so mean to him. Like, I wish that they would understand that it's not his choice. But then again, like, I think they're just wishing that he would push back harder.
Yeah.
Which they also don't understand that, like, once things are signed over, then he can. And so I feel like, yeah, it just puts him in such a hard place. I also feel like right away in the beginning, there's that scene before Jackson comes in. It's with Catherine and Richard. I'm just kind of talking about this all in one. But I feel like I literally wrote, oh, here's the Catherine that we know. Like last episode, you know, she's this gracious person that's swooping in and saving the hospital. And then here, she literally says to Richard, there's only one room in which I take orders from my boyfriend, which I was like, whoa. But also like she is not a team player. Like she makes the choices she wants to make and doesn't really care what other people think, which in some moments of the show, I think can be admirable, but in others, it just comes off as like, she just doesn't think about, she doesn't have empathy or like think about other people. And so I just feel bad for Jackson because he's like stuck. It's not his choice, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So from there.
Well, there's Christina- that really... Wait, sorry. There's that really crude statement, unless you're going to talk about that, where they're like, or no. Yeah. Who is that? Is that to him that someone says, no one asked you to sue the hospital either for the plane crash? And then Meredith goes for the plane crash that killed Lexi?
Yeah. Like Jackson says that to Meredith and it's not Derek.
And then she says, like something for the plane crash that killed Lexi, which hits him because they were like a thing just before that.
Right, exactly.
So there's
clearly tension between the doctors, the other doctors, and then Avery, who are all on the board together. So then after the meeting, Christina tells Owen that she like goes straight to Owen and tells him that they are talking about replacing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
right away.
Owen freaks the fuck out.
This fight between them, it's clearly Christina shouldn't have told him in the middle of a workday. Like, I just feel like he reacted before even taking a breath, which I don't blame him, I guess. But yeah, it was a strong reaction.
I mean, I guess I understand why Owen would be super frustrated because he tried to save the hospital and then the other doctors stepped in and bought the hospital. But, you know, he was trying to make it right or whatever, and he was trying to help them buy the hospital and then to, like, fire him from his position. I understand why he would be frustrated. But he starts yelling and screaming. He starts taking it out on Derek. Yeah. And then Derek starts yelling at Owen and, like, you don't want to, like, get into blame. You do not want to do that with me. And then I didn't remember this at all. And then, you know, Avery comes in and tries to calm them down, and Owen just right then and there quits.
Yeah, it happens really fast. I didn't remember that either, and I think I didn't because it doesn't last long, but I like how Jackson, I just wrote, I was like, sometimes there's like small little moments in the show that are supposed to be dramatic, but they make me laugh. It's Owen's like, oh, I quit, and like walks out, and Jackson just goes, whoa! like in this like, and then it like cuts really fast, but yeah, he dramatically quits, and I don't, Derek also was so out of line. Like, they obviously they work through it later, but they have some things that they're working on.
Well, and I feel like Derek and Owen never really get along. Like, they never really.
No, which is so crazy because Christina and Meredith are each other's person. It's just wild.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine John and Jake yelling at each other like that?
No, because I can't imagine John and Jake yelling.
That's true.
Yeah.
They would They'd be like,
sorry,
could
man.
You please? Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
Also, randomly, when Owen, like, storms out to get in his big truck and drive away, Christina runs after him. And did you notice that she called him sweetheart?
Ooh.
Isn't that weird? Like, yeah. I've never heard Christina call Owen sweetheart.
Yeah, they're in like such a good place right now too, which is just, it almost feels like I mean, I am waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, but it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's just like freaky how good of a place they're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Owen's gone and I feel like we don't have to talk too deep about all of the patients. I feel like the one, I think his name is Brad, was really sad, but there are three transplants happening today in the hospital and no transplant coordinator, which would have been Owen's position. So like right away they are like understand and suffering the loss of Owen not being there and having someone in leadership.
And I want to say on top of that, like Owen not being in that role anymore, they're also having to deal with a bunch of Pegasus protocols that need to be looked at and changed or, you know, go back to how they originally had it. And I feel like Owen would be helping with that. And he's no longer there.
Yes. Yeah, he's no longer there. And I feel like it's Bailey too that like cares about these things. Like she's the one that doesn't want to do the hernia repair the old way. It's like all these monotonous things. And Jackson is just kind of like overwhelmed.
Yeah, you can tell that he's really stressed out in his new role.
Yeah, I love that Bailey says, I've been doing hernias since you've been sucking on your thumb.
Yeah. She also says to, I think she says to Avery, well, good luck, he's gone, he quit. Which is yeah. like, okay,
yeah, she, good luck, he's gone, he quit. He quit, ask boss man over there.
Yeah.
She's just, I love her.
Yeah.
I also love how she sort of like stays out of these fights, you know, like she's just like, I don't want to use these protocols, but I'm going to stay out of this. This is what I want. And like, also she was going to do them that way for Stan or whatever his name was. Not Stan. What was that? The hernia guy's
name?
Oh
yeah. Well, I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
So anyways.
Yeah.
So
then I don't know if we want to go in order and then talk about how Alex yet too. Like, well, in regard, okay, maybe let's not talk quite about Alex yet, but I will say that he needs, because there's no one with these transplants, like, he needs Meredith to go get this kidney, and he wants to make sure that, like, Meredith is the one to do it, and there's, like, a good doctor. Mm-hmm. So Meredith goes to get this kidney, and I don't remember where she flies to, but she has to get on a plane to go get it, and the kidney is gone because it, which I love, the kidney hopped a flight to Seattle all by itself.
Yeah, I love that too. And no one knows where it is, which I think at first I was afraid it like was going somewhere else, you know, like to a different patient. But clearly this is just like lack of organization.
Right. So I think that's just another way to show that like a Pegasus protocol was like, it flies coach or whatever an organ does at a certain level of whatever. And no one's looking at these protocols. Bailey is begging people or begging Jackson to look them over. Jackson doesn't want to, doesn't have the time, doesn't understand things. It's a fucking chaotic mess is what it is.
Yeah, it is. And let's talk more about like the kidney patient with an Alex and Joe once we, after this, maybe.
Yeah.
So, and throughout this episode too, it keeps cutting to Richard and Catherine, who seem to be always together this day. And Richard is, I feel like he's not trying to be like, Jackson isn't going to be good at this. He is advocating that like he knows what this job is and he doesn't want Jackson to fail on the first try and have that be like on his record or whatever, or that failure, like starting out with failure. Catherine keeps saying that he will get there, like, just give it time. It's interesting because I don't know, like, I do think that Jackson was thrown in a little early. It's just a weird argument that they're having. Like, I think Catherine has, like, too much blind hope, but also Richard is like, then just go help him, Richard. Don't just stand there and complain about it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But either way, they're definitely arguing about it, and it continues to go that way.
Yes.
I
just have a note. Like, everyone is down each other's throats. This whole episode was everyone being really irritated with each other. Like, I feel like Alex is mad at Meredith, and Owen is mad at Avery and Derek. And, you know, it's just like everyone, Bailey is mad at Avery, and Richard's mad at Catherine. Everyone's
upset with each other. Mm-hmm. I really like the confrontation that happens next when Christina approaches Derek and says, like, you, like, he is, like, Owen has felt the blame from every, like, on this since the beginning. And there's that whole thing where she yells at him and he's like, it's not, I don't blame Owen, whatever. And then she says, what is this about? Because it's not about him. And, it leaves, like, Derek alone in the room, which we obviously find out later what that's about. But I just thought it was important. I think Christina had every right to do that because she knows Owen best. And also, yeah, Owen has been feeling this, even though it technically he signed the papers. It's not like he wanted this to happen.
Right. Oh, for sure. Like, he didn't choose for this to happen. He didn't ask for this to happen. He might have to take a little bit of ownership, but I think he already did.
Right.
And so I find it really interesting how Christina keeps standing up for Owen. Like, we talked about, like, they're in this really good space, and she has, through this whole plane crash thing, defended Owen at every turn, you know?
Right, which is crazy since she was the one who's, like, the victim. It's not the same situation as Arizona and Callie, but it's, like, interesting where, you know, Callie had to make the call that ended up Arizona losing her leg, and it took Arizona, I feel like, a lot longer to be at peace that, it wasn't her fault, you know? And I feel like Christina right away was like, it's not your fault, Owen. But so then there's that scene where, because Owen is still living in Derek's trailer, which I forgot about. And he's running there, and Derek's chasing him in a fancy car. And and Derek is like, this is costing me gas. And Owen goes, you can afford it. They're like grumpy old men, the movie.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, you moron, you dumbass. That's like what I can just picture them. The scene made me really sad. Like, Owen admits that, like, he's sorry. Like, and then Derek finally just says that he's pissed at the world. He's pissed at Mark. And I love how, like, right away Owen pivots and he's like, you need to let that go. Just the same way that, like, Derek had just told him, like, you need to let it go. I don't know.
Yeah.
You just think he means he's, like, mad that Mark died? Like, he's not mad
at
Mark.
Yeah, mad that Mark had a 30-day thing where he was taken off life support, you know, after.
Yeah.
Maybe he feels like Mark stopped fighting because Lexi died, you know, like he kind of kept coding in the field. Who's to say? I know he had terrible injuries, but he also was like, I'm going to be with Lexi, you know?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I wonder. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Mark was his person.
But I think, like, that's also just a form of grief is, even though, like, you know, I'm pissed that they fucking died. Like, I'm pissed at you that you died. It's weird. Grief is really weird.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I skipped over Jackson's, like, delegation his first time.
Yeah, his big thing. Okay, first of all, I think it's important that we talk about this one patient that April has.
Yeah, Brad.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Is that the one thing you cried about? Is that what you were? Okay, I was figuring, so.
Yeah, so there's this patient who has ASL or ALS? ALS, right?
I think so.
ALS, yeah, not. Yeah,
is that what he has?
Yeah. And so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he tells April that he wants to donate his organs. And they're like, well, you can't wait until we, like, call you brain dead or whatever. And you're not brain dead. And he said he wants to do cardiac. Like, what was it? Like,
well, it's like
death,
once
donating organs after cardiac death.
Yeah. Once his heart stops, they can take his organs.
Yeah. So he signed this thing and he was, you know, saying like this vent was keeping him alive. And they were like, he was like, kind of like, welcome to my funeral. And April's super upset about it. And she doesn't understand. And so he ends up firing her as a doctor. And then I can't remember, maybe you can fill this in for me, what changes her mind to go back and be like, I understand.
I can't remember what the turning point was, but I feel like it has to do with her knowing where all of the organs were going or something the parent said. I feel bad that I'm blanking on this also.
Yeah, I blanked on that because all of a sudden she's like...
She comes in the room reading all of the things.
Yeah, because the mom is like, are you sure you want to do this? Like kind of questioning it. And April starts reading like all of the places this her son's organs are going to go.
Right.
So then they go into the OR and I think they like give him a sedative or something, you know? So, and then like, oh God, it's just so fucking sad. His whole family's sitting there like waiting with him to die. And
the mom this whole time has felt like surprisingly put together and like at peace yeah. with this and like supportive. Like she does yeah. give him that option at the end where she's like, are you sure you want to do this? But and like ends up like letting her son make this choice.
Right. And then at this, so they're like dealing with this in this OR and then Alex and Christina show up and they both need an OR. And like, it's the whole chaos of the hospital that there aren't enough ORs. And so they start screaming in the hallway. April comes running out and is like, can you all shut up? Like, I have a patient who's trying to die in here. So then the other two patients are like, well, I don't want to be, like, your patients right. are dying. Like, I don't want to right, be right. operated it's, on.
It's that it's grumpy like just, old man and the teenager girl.
Yeah, just mass chaos. And then, and this is when Avery kind of steps up in his leadership role and makes a decision. And... says hearts and lungs, trump kidney, like April, take all the time you need. You go back in there and then Karev, you're going to have to wait for an OR that's ready. And Christina, you can take OR two or whatever.
Right.
And Alex tries to argue with Avery and he doesn't have it. And so that's like his big glory moment of like.
Yeah. And I love how right away too, Bailey's just like, you heard him. Like,
yeah. And you can tell she's really proud of him. Like, okay, because she's been watching Avery all day stumble. Right. And then he finally is like, this is what we're going to do. Because even Callie was trying to figure it out. And she was like, I'm going to go back to the OR board.
I need a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Avery just stepped up. And I think he made he made a call and that was a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. And there was some weird, I wrote, this is some Free Willy music. There was some like weird music happening in the background of that scene. But about that patient too, Brad, who like,
yeah, the let's organ keep talking donor, about that.
I can't imagine what it would feel like to know you're going to die.
I was literally thinking the same thing. And I wrote that this patient reminds me of what we were studying in school, existential therapy. And a big part of that is like, coming to terms with your mortality and yeah. like that you're going to die and, you know, existential dread and like this type of thing. I don't know. It was so like, I literally had just done a post for it for school. And then I had this like, had to watch this and this patient having to think about what would that feel like knowing I am making the choice to die? Like,
yeah, I feel like if you were in front of me and you were about to die, I'd be like, wait, I have more questions. Tell me about this. What was your, yeah. like you'd want to, like sometimes the good thing about like a death that's unexpected is you don't have the chance to feel like, oh, did I say the right, like, I just feel like as that mom, like, I don't know how I would be okay with letting someone do that. That's just really hard.
Yeah. Once he dies too, they only have 5 minutes to harvest the organs. And this is so fucking sad. Ugh. That mom loses it when he dies and right. grabs onto her son and like will not let go of him. And she's like, I'm like really sorry, but this will all be for nothing. We only have 5 minutes. And she ends up having to pull, like physically pull the mother off of her son. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrible. Like April, yeah, when she physically does it. Oh, I hated it.
Yeah. And I said that I had GGBs the whole time. Like that whole storyline made me really, really emotional.
Yeah.
And that song, I think it starts playing after Derek is, so I don't know if it's actually during the mom crying or when it is, or I think it's just this whole montage because I have note after note. One of them is God, life is so fragile. And then the song Go First starts playing. And then I lost it even more because I love this song. And I listened to that song on repeat during one of my breakups. And so it was really sad. That song means a lot to me. And it's all about wanting someone else to go first. And the sun was dying. I just felt like it was a very emotional patient storyline.
It was. I feel the same way. And I also apologize to the listeners who just heard me scream and then fall on my chair because my phone fell and my headphones got unplugged from my phone and you couldn't know because you couldn't hear me. So nope, I apologize for those weird sounds that just happened.
I love that I'm just talking over that and not like...
That's
going to be great.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. I didn't really
fall. Did you even hear my part about the breakup song?
I did. I just knew you were, you had it. You had the conversation. You were carrying it. I was letting you take it away. Okay, so Catherine, there's a scene with Catherine and Richard, and this is after Jackson obviously like did okay. And it's really, I don't know, it's a weird scene because we hear from Catherine that like she's been a single mom for so many years. Like she doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, she threatens Richard that he was getting a little too close to parenting and not just being like a concerned hospital staff member or whatever. But then like as soon as she says it, she like apologizes for biting his head off and that she used to do that with her ex-husband all the time.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm applauding her awareness, but also I don't think she ever really gets that much better at it. But I do habits are, she's trying to break habits, I guess I would say.
Yeah, it is interesting. You have to go a step further, though. Like, just being aware of your shit doesn't mean that.
Right. Like you have to eventually.
You should try harder not to act that way.
You should eventually not say the things that you're going to say, not apologize after you say them.
Exactly.
So. That's the only thing I'm like a little frustrated with is her character is like, I wish there'd be more growth in that. Like her and Richard's breaking up that's happening sort of right now is really sad to me because I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll get back together, but I really want them to be each other's final person, you know? And like, yeah. I'd love her growth to make sense and not just keep having the same problems.
Anyways. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about or start talking about, and I'll join in the really good Jackson scene at the end of this first episode?
Yeah, yeah. No,
beautiful.
Good. Take it away.
So there's a meeting then, and Jackson is ready to lay out all the things that he thinks are important. So they all sit back down, and they're like ready for what he's going to say. He throws away the binder of Pegasus protocols and just says like, yeah, we don't need these anymore. We're going to make them up on our own. He says they're going to reinstate Owen Hunt. They're reopening the ER. They're going to become a level 1 trauma center again. And then he says the phrase, we are now officially a hospital run by doctors and that should mean something. Which I was like, why couldn't you say those things this morning? Why did you have to fire Owen? Like, it was just, I think it was like, because Catherine was in that meeting with everyone. So maybe they were making things final. And then once they were, then he had the freedom to like make his own choices.
I think it's different. I think that he realized, I think he just like in that moment where he was like, you're going to be in this OR and you're going to be in that OR. Like, I think he realized, and after talking to his mom a little bit about like, you don't have to understand all of this. Like, that's what the people in the suits are for.
Okay.
Like,
okay. Yeah.
I think he just gained confidence. Like, I think he felt like he was in over his head. He didn't understand anything. And so he was going to follow the foundation's lead because they knew best.
Okay.
And then he gained his confidence and was like, fuck the foundation. They're following our lead because we're a board of doctors.
That makes more sense. Okay. I like that. I'm here for that. Okay. And everyone is two. And then this is where I got GGBs.
And everyone is two.
They are. They're like, they're so excited. And then he goes, this was the part where I seriously got GGBs. I was very excited about it. He moves to rename the hospital, which they're all like, okay, why? Like, why would we again. Do that? Yeah, again. Yeah. When was it changed to,
was there during the merger?
Oh, probably. Yeah, that makes sense. And he says and it's written on a piece of paper, Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital. And I had GGBs, and I feel like that comment that Meredith made earlier in the day to him about Lexi, like, I feel like all of these things had to, like, the reason, it was like Owen and Derek were putting the blame on whatever, but actually the reason why this is happening is because, like, they lost two of their favorite doctors and people. And I feel like this is a great way. And I love that name. I love that that's what we think about now. I really don't think about Seattle Grace as much. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it was a really good move on the show to do that.
I think so too. And I had the same thing. I had GGBs and I said, God, tears again. I cried again at that part.
Yeah.
And really proud. I also have a note. I was really proud of Avery. Like, he gave a really good speech.
Yeah, he did. I think he's great. I feel like this is prime Avery time that we're in right now, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I wrote the Jackson transplant took. Just to round out. Yeah. That thought there.
Before I think we were just kind of going storyline, so we're almost to the next episode, but maybe we should talk about the Alex thing in this episode before.
Sure. We can even talk through the whole Alex thing because it's not much in the next one. So Joe, what is the OB doctor's name?
Chess Peckwell, but I don't know his real name.
Okay, I just kept calling him Peck Guy. Okay, I'm gonna call him Chess Peckwell. So Joe is flirting with him in the elevator and just, his name is Jason. Because she says, oh yeah, because she goes, Alex, do you know Jason? And he goes, Chess Peckwad? Like, he says it like really, and he's like, yeah, whatever. And then I love how he's just like, I'll take the stairs. Like, which is so, you opened the elevator. Like, I just love that. But I just hate, he's just cheesy kind of, and just obviously we're not supposed to like him, I don't think.
No.
But they're definitely like dating. I feel like the biggest realization for Joe in these episodes is she's with Mare going to Missoula to get the kidney. And
that's where it was, Missoula.
Missoula, yep. And Joe's like just talking out loud about Alex, and she's like, it's not my fault that he hates me because I'm dating whatever. And she's like, I'm finally figuring him out, like how to speak Alex, whatever. And Mayor just goes, you don't have to teach me how to speak Alex. I'm fluent.
Love
and
it.
Like, yeah, she just says that. And then Joe's like, he doesn't really hate me, right? Like he's upset that I didn't tell him or I couldn't get drinks or whatever. And Mare's like, or he hates you, which is like so true. That's how Alex is. Like, I feel like he's not often is Alex in the gray. He either is just like, it's black or white with him. This is definitely a gray thing though. And then do you want to talk about what Joe says to Meredith about Alex feeling left out?
I don't really have notes about that.
When they're there, she just says like that Alex is feels like left out of the situation, like they all made this choice without him. Or is that in the second episode? Is that in the I thought it was in the first one.
No, I think it is because then Meredith calls out Karev later on and she pretty much tells him to drop the attitude. She's like, you know, I'm like, what do you want me to do? Apologize? Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we bought the hospital without you. But we did this for you, and like fucking calm down pretty much. And he does. Yeah.
And also he has that thing where he's approaching the kidney patient who's locked herself in the bathroom and basically saying to her, like, don't lose this chance. Like, this kidney doesn't always come around. And he's like, maybe some guy with big arms is going to come take it. And the girl goes, so you're saying this kidney, I need to take this kidney so some dude with big arms doesn't get it? And he's like, yeah, which clearly he's talking about Chess Peckwell? Peckwad is from Moby Dick. I know this because of your
house. He says, you need to take the good things when they're in front of you. Otherwise, someone else will.
Yes, there we go. That's perfect. Also, that patient, she says the word emoticons. Is that what they were called before emojis? I think they were. I just had that.
Also, they call Dr. Alex Dr. Doucheface, which I love.
And he doesn't know who that is. He's like, who's that? And he's like, you idiot. And then
so this is when Karev shows up to Joe's.
Yeah, talk bar. About it.
So he just like bursts into Joe's bar and Joe is with Chess Peckwell having a drink and he like scooches in and completely ignores Chess Peckwell and apologizes to Joe. He calls himself a douche face and then offers to buy her a drink while she's out on a date.
I like how she's just like, we're fine.
I don't know if you want to talk more about that.
No, that's it. So he clearly likes her and is feeling like he missed his chance.
Yes.
And definitely hates this Jason guy. And in the next episode, we don't need to talk long about it, but I thought it was a really cute storyline. There's a little boy that they're working with who has cancer and the kid like squirted his stuff on Jason's crotch, like when he was in the room and was like, oh, it's spilling. Why? And the guy was like, it's okay, little man. And I love how the kid's like, I'm not little. I have cancer. It stunted my growth. Just like makes him feel super like awkward. And then they get an idea to prank him together. And so they have him paged for a genitalia, which sounds like genitalia. <funny. laughs> And I love how that's like they're all watching and giggling and Richard sees it. And you think that he's like going to yell at Alex, but then he's like, you're not good enough at your pranks.
Yeah. I feel like Richard is always like showing up for Karev. You know, like when he was like getting him to like ask for things at John Hopkins or whatever. He's like always just sneaking in, like whispering little things to Alex.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I feel like him, it like brings out his little kid side. And then when, I forget what Richard has them do. I forget what it is, but he comes out and they realize that it's Alex and the kid doing it. And Richard just runs away. And then I love how Alex is like, well, don't get mad at me. The kid has a crush on Wilson, which like is just funny that he's like clearly talking about himself. And then fucking Chest Peckwell says like
this
something.
This is so gross.
Yes.
He says, while I'm like, you're going to be here or whatever, while I'm nailing Joe in the bathroom at the bar.
Yeah. Fuck like, that.
That's your idea of like getting the girl is fucking nailing her in the bathroom at the bar. Like, I was just like, ew.
Yeah, I was appalled.
You're so
by
gross.
That.
Gross. Yeah. Not even like, whatever, even if you want to be like, yeah, well, I'm going to be like nailing Joe or like I'm going to be making love to Joe. But why does it have to be in the bathroom at the bar?
Yeah, like, gross at Joe's. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that line. I literally wrote you in all caps. He is trash and I'm ready for him to be gone.
Yeah, maybe they did that so we wouldn't like him.
I was
like, who the fuck wrote that line? I'm disgusted by it.
Some dude.
Yeah, probably.
Or some girl who some dude said that to and then, yeah.
Yeah, that too. I mean, to each their own. If you want to fuck in a bathroom at a bar, that's fine, but
I just don't like the word nail.
Yeah.
I guess what nailing I don't like, Joe. It's one thing if you're sexy talking to Joe, if you're like, I'm going to nail you in the bathroom later. I don't know. But like, I don't like that he's saying that to another dude.
I totally agree.
It feels disrespectful.
Totally agree.
I can't even imagine reading that line and having to act it out.
Oh my God, I know.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, you're in the hospital with this kid with cancer. I'm going to be nailing Joe in a... I say nailing. I can't even say
I'm going to be
it.
Nailing Joe in the bathroom, in the bar.
Oh, my God. Okay. What do you want to talk about next? There's just so much of this next episode.
Yeah. Although I feel like nothing happened in this episode. I guess maybe let's talk about Callie in Arizona, because I feel like that was one of the biggest storylines.
I agree.
And it started kind of... like early on in the episode. Arizona is wearing heels. She got a prosthetic leg that she can wear high heels with. And
it makes her booty pop.
Yeah. And so they show up to the hospital and Callie is like, it makes her booty go pow. Everyone can talk about it. Like, this is your one chance. Makes her ass go pow. And then Richard tries to comment on Arizona's butt. And that's where they draw the line. They're like, okay.
He says, I think it's a fine glutinous, like whatever he was about to say. And then they all stop. I did love that they all were so supportive of her ass, though. Like, if I was feeling good about my ass and I came in and all my male coworkers were like, oh, I would feel really good about that. Especially if I was asking for the feedback, you know? I thought that was
And like my wife was standing next to me, like, I think it would be, it was cute. It was like, I thought it was a fun little riff that they were all doing.
Yeah, it was perfect. It's like right after that, there's another scene with Arizona and Callie, and Arizona suggests to Callie, like she comes in the room and suggests that like tonight they can have sex. And I feel like I really love Arizona and Callie's relationship in these episodes because two things. Like one, it shows right away that like Arizona is like feeling like ready and like she can take this step. And I love Callie. I feel like Callie's reaction is so real where she like first doesn't want to quite get excited. Like she's like, wait, do you mean, I just want to make sure we're talking about sex.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she like, I just love how deeply Callie loves her also in these episodes. It's just really, when I think about the Callie that we met in like the early seasons and how she was with George and how insecure she was, you know, like
she's so much more confident now.
Yeah. Like I just love seeing her like this and I just love how excited she is to like have sex with her. I think it's really great. And so they kind of make a plan that later tonight they're going to have sex and, Bailey is that when Bailey's trying to pitch the her genome?
The genome after having gone to, and we'll talk about it to other doctors, but then she tries to talk to Callie and Arizona.
When they're talking about having sex. So that doesn't work. Okay, so then
just to finish out with this storyline, then Arizona ends up like she's in pain and she was like, why did I decide to wear heels? Like they're not comfortable. They weren't comfortable before. Why did I think they'd be comfortable like with a prosthetic leg, you know?
Right, right.
And Callie gets super like kind of irritated and like kind of freaks out a little bit just about like, we're not having sex tonight. And Arizona's like, what? No, that's not what I'm saying. I feel like I've been here before, you know,
yeah,
where you're like, you can tell that the person is like, they were in for it like 5 hours ago, but then something happened. They got a little bloated. And they're like, yeah. And they try to gently be like, yeah, not feeling so great. And immediately Callie's like, yeah, we're not having sex. So
yeah. And I love that she verbally like, Arizona says like, do you really think I'm that much of a manipulative bitch? And that's when Callie is like, no, I'm the bitch. Like I'm realizing like that, like I'm the bitch, whatever. And so I just like that moment because like I've been there where I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. What I'm saying right now is mean, but I can't stop saying it and I'm just going to leave. Like, and she just walks out. Like, again, they're just communicating sort of.
Arizona finally lets Callie help her, which I think is really great because Arizona's in a lot of pain. Callie's like,
I'm an orthopedic surgeon. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can help you. And she's like, but I'm going to need you to take off your pants. And she does. And she goes to take off Arizona's prosthetic leg. And Arizona freaks out and was like, that's not helping. That's taking off my leg. And Callie continues to do it. And then she says, there's not a problem with your prosthetic. It's a problem with your residual limb. They get sore and she starts like massaging it. And you can tell at first, like Arizona is so uncomfortable and so upset that because I think she wants her partner, her wife to see her in a certain way. And she wants to be sexy to her wife and doesn't feel super sexy when her wife is
massaging her, like what's left of her leg.
It's like those things where like, I don't know. It feels like the first time she's letting her do this. It's like those first times you let your partner do something really intimate that's not very sexy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Yep.
And Callie, I love that she's like, she makes Arizona look her in the eyes and she ends up helping her. And she's like, I, you know, work on limbs all the time and, you know, they get sore and she helps her out. And there's like this nice, I feel like, relief for both of them.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, I really think that, well, and obviously it is the thing that like allows them to be intimate with each other fully afterwards. But I just think, yeah, I think it was beautifully written and I loved how it happened. I also loved the humor moment when Arizona feels guilty and she's like, I can give you a massage too. And Callie goes, with your girly hands, forget it. Like, yeah. I just like love that comment. I also love
when she calls her Callie and she's like, right now I'm Dr. Torres.
Yes, yes. So much of their relationship to me, like some of it is like really real life. And even the part where like Arizona feels guilty that she's giving Callie a massage, there are many times where like Jake's been rubbing my back and I'm like, I will, I promise. And then I never do. But it like, you feel like, I'm sorry, you know, I just love that they included that. But yeah, so that leads to later in the night, Callie comes home and instead of it being the other way around where Callie's all dressed up in like lingerie waiting for Arizona, Arizona is already like, she doesn't have a prosthetic on. She's in her like lingerie outfit and her and Callie get freaky and I assume have sex and it's beautiful.
Yeah. I said they're going to have sex. Yay.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, me too. Great. Good job. It's a sweet storyline though, because this has been over episodes, you know, we think about Bailey's wedding is when they were like kind of first addressing this. And
yeah,
so,
I mean, it's been 17, 18 episodes since they've had sex because the plane crash, like if you think about it that way. So, and they were like a very sexual couple.
Yeah. So great. They're making steps forward.
Yeah. Let's talk about Meredith too. It's a little one to kind of not get out of the way. It's a good storyline, but I felt really sad for Meredith in these episodes. Like, I feel like it's kind of like when comedians have like dark humor where they're just like self-deprecating all the time as a way to like, or just anyone self-deprecates, you know, so that then it can't hurt you when it happens or when people say it to you. I feel like that's like Meredith is saying all these bad things so that if they come true, like she feels like it won't hurt her. And it starts out like kind of funny in the way where like Derek is talking to the baby and she's like, maybe it can't hear anyways. Maybe it's deaf. They both are calling. She doesn't know what to call it because they don't know what the sex is. I just said I've never had a kid, but I understand this anxiety in general of just like running through every bad thing that could happen.
Oh, definitely. I just want to point out, like Derek is calling the baby he and Mara is calling the baby she, and then she starts calling it. And you can just clearly tell that she's very stressed about the health of her baby because—
right.
She even says, like, rolling over, like, if anyone were to have a baby with, like, three arms and 11 fingers and whatever toes, like, it would be. Yeah. And Derek, in the beginning of this episode, is just like, Meredith, stop. Like, it's fine. Everything's going to be okay. So she starts talking about it. She gets to the hospital and she starts talking about it with Krev and Christina. And Christina's like, if this happens, I'll fix it. We own a hospital. Like, we're going to be fine. And Krev, like, leans right into it, which I found very funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of funny Christina things and Krev things in it in regards. Just the way they act with her is so different.
Yeah. Krev's like, one time, there was a baby.
Oh, was that the pen? Like, is that when he did the pen thing?
Yeah, like, you squeeze a little too hard on the forceps and then pop. And then Meredith goes, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and he did the pen. It made me think of, remember when you'd hold a dandelion and you'd go, Mama had a baby and her head popped off. Why the fuck did we do that?
I have no idea. Remember when you'd, like, put yellow on your hands with dandelions? Why would you do that? You'd say something, or you put it on someone else's hand. You'd be like, a dog peed on you. That's what you would do.
Oh, that's so sad. I feel like I would do it, but I would like be like, oh, if the yellow shows up, that means you're going to die in 5 days or something. not ever that dark, but it would be like a fortune telling thing.
Oh, why would ours be a dog peed on
you? I don't know. You're more innocent, I guess. I feel like the next part about that with Mare is just there when they're getting the ultrasound at the very end.
Yeah.
It made me weepy.
So Meredith like says something at the very end again, like making some self-deprecating thing. And Derek is like, Meredith, stop. Like, stop doing this. And she's like, what? Like, bad things happened to us. And I just really appreciated how Derek responded to it. Instead of just telling her to get over it, he was like, we own this hospital. Let's go find out everything we possibly can about this baby. Which I thought was really nice that he, you know, I think a lot, oftentimes the way to combat anxiety is to give yourself some answers. And that's what they did. And they find out that they're having a boy.
Very cute. Love that moment. Also, I like, she's like, 11 fingers. That's not a finger. Such a joke. I wish, yeah, I feel like it would give me so much like a calm sense if like your partner was like a surgeon. Wouldn't you just feel like, well, everything will be fine?
Yeah, definitely.
If Derek Shepherd was my husband, I think I'd feel that way.
Oh, for sure. I think anyone would feel that way. Well, yeah, he has a drinking problem sometimes.
Jake's an EMT. It's like the same thing.
Do you feel that way?
No.
Yeah. John works for the police department. It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, so let's talk about April.
Okay, yeah.
So this is just a short little blip of a storyline too, but somehow Meredith and April start talking and she's freaking out and she's like, I need someone to talk to. I have to break up with Matthew. And there, she's like, why? Or she asks like, how's your paramedic boyfriend? I think that's how it starts. And she says she has to break up with him because Matthew's never been to the carnival. And she told him that she had never been to the carnival either, but she has been to the carnival. She's ridden all the rides and now she wants to ride them again, which is the best, most hilarious thing for sex. I just laughed so hard at that. And I love when she's like talking about all of, or is it Meredith that mentions all the different, I think it's April. She's like, I've been on the Tilt-A-Whirl, that one that goes round and round and then it drops you. And like, just the way she's describing it is just so, sex with Jackson must be incredible.
Well, that's what Stephanie said. So I mean, yeah.
And yeah. And so she really wants to have sex and Matthew hasn't, but it's a very funny situation to me. And I love that Meredith says, I'm a big fan of the carnival. I go whenever I can. Yeah. So it's great.
And then Meredith's advice said, her advice was, there must be a reason that God let you go to the carnival already. And April was like, you're right. I shouldn't be talking to you about this because you give terrible advice.
Yeah, because Meredith basically says, like, your point is to get him to go to the carnival too. Like,
right.
And, like, basically get rid of his virginity.
Exactly.
So funny. And then...
So then what ends up happening, they have this Lodox machine. The ER opens and they have a fancy new machine and they don't get to use it for all these different patients. And then at the end of the episode, they finally use it on a patient. And I think Kepner's talking to Owen or something. And Owen said it was definitely worth waiting for. And Kepner realizes that it's worth waiting for having sex.
Yeah.
Because she kept calling like the Lodox was like, it was like the carnival machine thing that they don't get to use.
Yep.
It was cute, but also I was kind of like, oh God, at the end where it's like, it's worth waiting for. It's just okay.
What if it's probably not going to be as good as it was with Jackson?
Fuck no. It sounds not. Yeah, that's for sure.
Wait, I also just realized this. So she doesn't end up marrying him because Jackson stands up at the wedding. So her and Matthew never have sex. So then when they did get married at the end of before she left the show, is that going to be the first time they ever had sex?
I guess so, probably.
I mean, not him.
No.
He was married too. No, I know, but I mean together, like the two of them.
Oh, I think they probably had sex because they'd both been married and had sex. I don't know.
No, but they weren't together at the end, were they? I thought they just, were they dating before she left
the show?
They
were dating, yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah, they were dating.
Okay. Also, I just want to say a little note on Dr. Russell, the cardio guy. We don't see him often, but he comes. He's so kooky. He just like pops out of nowhere again and like gets Christina to be involved and do this like surgery, this like new exciting cardio project he's working on. And Christina's all excited because she feels like she's being brought into something, and one of her colleagues from college is like doing all this amazing research, and she feels like all she's done is just now she's like an administrator of a hospital. and so I love that, she's like very excited about it. And then at the very end, basically Dr. Russell tricked Christina into the operation so that she would approve the $12 million he needs to fund this project. And so she's all frustrated about that. I love that she comes back at it by telling him that he can't have the money, but the project's going to continue because Christina is going to do the work of all the four people he needed to hire to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And she's like so excited about it. She like has all of those binders at the very end. She's just like so happy to be a part of like doing some cardio work again. And so she kind of, it was like Dr. Russell tricked her and then she tricked him. It was cute.
Yeah, which leads into the storyline about Bailey. So Bailey is trying to get her human genome mapping program funded by the board. And she keeps trying to talk to all these different people on the board. And no one has time for it. No one has time to listen. Avery says no, they don't have the money because they bought the Lodox. And then at one point, Meredith is having like the baby's kicking or something. And she asks Christina to speak to the baby because the baby, you know, needs someone else's voice besides Meredith or whatever. And Christina like literally doesn't know what to say.
She's like, hello, this is Christina Yang. Yeah.
And so then Bailey shows up and she starts talking and Meredith's like, keep talking, it's working. And so Bailey ends up pitching the human genome mapping while talking to Meredith's baby.
Yep, it's beautiful.
And so they end up cutting funding from the cardio, like the cardio budget, so they can fund Bailey's. And that's how Christina ends up getting
all that
work in the cardio department.
All that punking is happening between Richard and Karev and Chest Peckwell. And so Bailey's like witnessing it happening. And that's when Callie goes up to Bailey and is like, hey, Bailey, like we are going to fund your project. And she's like, yeah, right. You're punking me. And she goes, it's like, she's like mentioned something about high school. And she goes, I don't want to play varsity that bad, Kimberly. just like such a funny line that Bailey has. And it's really cute when she does realize they actually are going to give her the money for her project. And she goes up to Jackson at the very end and just says, basically that she was wrong. Like he is capable and like she's thankful for his choice to do that. It's super sweet. And I think it's like very genuine too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I also really quick, when Christina's talking to Mare's baby, she goes, I'll talk to it when I see it first. And then she says, when it has its first period or if it has a penis, I'll tell it not to think with it. It's just like such a good line.
Love it. So I think those are really most of the storylines. The only other thing, well, the ER opens and they have this fancy ass machine that takes, it takes 13 seconds for a full body x-ray.
Yep.
And so the whole thing is like, everyone's super excited to see it. But then like they get this patient and they can't even spare 13 seconds because this person's head, their fucking skull flap is like,
oh God, that was so gross. I wrote not a skull flap, but a skull flap.
Yeah. And so they didn't get to use their Lodox. And so they keep like rushing, like, I don't know. It's just like this whole thing of that, like, oh, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And so Mousy ends up being like, well, you could use it on me because one time I swallowed a marble when I was a kid and they never found it. And
she's
they end
so
up
weird.
I know. And they end up doing the scan on Murphy ends up doing a scan on her and she's like, oh my God, I found the marble. Which is really funny to me.
It's so weird. Yeah, it was funny. Brooks is so, I just don't get her character. There was that part when in the first episode, Christina keeps telling her things and she's like, what? Oh my, wow, whatever. And Christina looks at her and goes, can your mind be blown on your own time? I feel like they never got her character down, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I totally agree. Yeah.
Also, I felt like I was supposed to feel really bad for the teacher patient, but She is the actress that plays this person named Hope on Virgin River, which I watched this week, which is a ridiculous fucking show.
I can't get into it. I've only watched like 20 minutes.
I finished it because I like just needed to have something. I wasn't really paying attention. It's not good. But I wanted to like it because Riggs is in it from Grace. Right. But she plays the mayor or whatever. And I hate that character. And so I hated this teacher, even though I was supposed to like her because I just watched that show last night. So
yeah,
anyways.
She was, I mean, I felt bad for her. It was just, it sucked. She said it sucked. But it was sad that she was just like, this isn't fair. I don't know. It was whatever.
Yeah.
It was not as sad to me as Brad. I like, after coming down from Brad dying, I was just like, okay, whatever. Couple random notes that I have is in the beginning, they have this like reveal of the new hospital. And so they get all these new coffee sleeves. Oh, yeah. And I think Richard said these coffee sleeves are excellent, have excellent thermal retention, which is very funny.
Yep. He loves the sign and the coffee sleeves, of course.
Yeah. And then there's like this sheet hanging on the wall and they're like, Are we supposed to do some type of ceremony? Like, what are we doing? Should we give a speech? And Avery ends up being like, I'm pretty sure the painters just left it there. And he pulls it down and it's an actual sign. And he says, let's get back to work. End of speech.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I loved it.
Yeah. So there's like, they spent like a fuck ton of money on all this stuff, but there's no like to do about it at all. Yeah.
That's like all I have.
The only other thing I have is like with Ross and that dad.
I have notes on that. I just don't even, it was just so annoying. I didn't understand what was happening.
I didn't either. The dad was super aggressive and I don't know what the point of that story was.
Yeah. And then Derek's like calming him down with a fishing story. I was like, this is just stupid.
Yeah. I didn't really get it. Those are all my notes. Do you have any strays or you good?
Nope. That's it.
Okay, so notes and trivia for episode 17, Transplant.
Do you want to just alternate since there's so many in the second one?
Oh, sure. Okay.
It'd be fun that way.
Okay, so this episode's title originated from the song Transplant Wasteland, originally sung by the Arcana.
This episode scored 8.2 million viewers.
This episode features a patient suffering from ALS, which would become a well-known condition in 2014 due to the Ice Bucket Challenge. A large part of the main cast took the challenge to raise awareness.
I remember that. This episode introduces the newest and most recent hospital name change from Seattle Grace Mercy West Hospital to Grace Sloan Memorial.
Sounds so much better than Seattle Grace Mercy West.
Yeah, it's a lot of words.
Yeah. Okay, so for the second episode, this episode's title originated from the song Idle Hands, originally sung by the Gutter Twins.
This episode scored 9.39 million viewers.
This episode marks Jessica Capshaw's 100th credited episode as Arizona Robbins. However, she had 3 credited appearances for episodes she didn't actually appear in. Who figures that shit out?
Who even knows? Arizona finally allows Callie to touch her residual limb.
The new prosthetic that Arizona Robbins wore in this episode was created by Step Ahead Prosthetics. Amy Palmiro Winters, a program director of the company, flew the prop to LA and consulted with the show during the filming of the episode. Interesting.
How was she wearing it when she has a leg? These are questions that I have.
Yeah. Great.
The article about Marcus Cho was written by an MD named David Greenspan. This name was taken from crew member David Greenspan, an editor and director on the show.
Oh, I love when they do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Meredith has been pregnant for 20 weeks and 6 days, as shown on the monitor. However, she states in dialogue that she's 28 weeks pregnant.
Who the fuck looks at that also? At the beginning of the episode, Owen is wearing the Seattle Grace Mercy West white jacket. But when we see all the other doctors, they are wearing Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital white jackets.
He didn't catch up.
He did. All right. Catherine Fox Award. I agreed with what you said. You wrote Jackson because he steps up, becomes a leader, decides what to do, what is best for the hospital and not what the foundation wants, and also comes up with a dope name. I agree 1,000%. He wins for me.
Yes. Great. Rate the episode. I gave it 7 scalpels. I liked the first episode more than the second episode. I was kind of bored in the second episode, but I don't know. I had a lot of GGBs in the first one, so that bumped it up. I was going to give it 6.5, but decided on 7.
Yeah, I agree too. I like the, I feel like we're finally like at the wrap up of the whole hospital like storyline now, mm-hmm. even with them basically pulling the sign down and just being like, okay, let's go. Like we're done. Like we're, it's happening and now we're moving on, which is great because now we get to move on towards whatever exciting business is going to like leave us cliffhangers in the finale, which is great.
Yes, totally agree. Okay.
All right. So just a reminder, we are going to call Time of Death. And if you are a patron and you're listening on Patreon, make sure to just keep listening because there's our post-op episode. And if you aren't one, feel free to join and listen to those on Patreon. Today, we're going to just be talking a little bit about our middle school selves in preparation Yay. For the bonus episode. Again, sorry, it's not Grays related, but we're in quarantine. And I feel like you all could be reading your old journals together because you're all at home. So maybe this can create a trend.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Time of Death is 2019.